Okay, so the question I'm asking is, when I say black people in Argentina, what do you think of or how do you respond?
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really know there were black people in Argentina.
Where is Argentina?
The Argentine Republic, or more commonly known as Argentina, is a country in South America. Argentina borders Chile, Bolivia, Paraguay, Brazil, Uruguay, the South Atlantic Ocean, and the Drake Passage. The capital and chief port of Argentina is Buenos Aires.
There's black people in Argentina.
Like all South American countries except Brazil, the region of Argentina was colonized by the Spanish Empire. Due to its economic potential of silver, hence the name Argentina meaning land of silver, it became part of Spain's imperial territory. Like many other imperial powers at the time, Spain wanted to make as much money as possible. And as a result of the Spanish genocide of the indigenous population, the Mapuche, Qom, and Wichí people, mostly through war and diseases like smallpox, there was a major labour shortage for work on the plantation and in the silver mines. Consequently, Spain imported enslaved Africans to Argentina via the transatlantic slave trade to work on the plantations and in the mines. In 1587, the first enslaved Africans arrived in Buenos Aires from Brazil, and between then and 1640, its main commercial activity was the slave trade. By the end of the 18th century, roughly 70,000 enslaved Africans were in Argentina.
A not so fun fact.
Many Afro-Argentine slave descendants are speculated to have roots in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Republic of Congo, and Angola.
And in the 1900s, there was a huge influx of Cape Verdean immigrants to the shores of Argentina, which consequently added to the Afro-Argentine population. In Buenos Aires today, there are many first-generation immigrants from Senegal, Nigeria, Côte d'Ivoire, and Guinea.
What does anti-blackness look like in Argentina?
Between the 18th of May 1810 and the 5th of April 1818, Argentine patriots fought against the Spanish crown for their independence. Many Afro-Argentine slaves were conscripted to be part of the military during the 8-year-long Argentine War of Independence, though they remained in segregated squadrons. Out of the 2,500 Afro-Argentine soldiers who took part in the crossing of the Andes in 1817, which was one of the most important achievements of the Argentine War of Independence, only 143 survived and made it back to Argentina.
A not so fun fact.
At one point, black people made up 50% of the Argentine population.
And now moving on to schooling for Afro-Argentines in independent Argentina.
By creating a school geared to Pardo children, they could indoctrinate these children with Christian values and morality, which especially elevated recently freed African descendants, bringing them more in line with ideal, honourable, and Spanish behaviour.
School was often a terrible experience for Afro-Argentines who could afford it, and universities didn't admit black people until 1853, that was once slavery had fully been abolished. This meant that Afro-Argentines were prevented from climbing up the class ladder as they were not able to access further education. The stagnancy of the working class and poor Afro-Argentines who were thrust into miserable living conditions while facing widespread discrimination meant that they were disproportionately more susceptible to death. When it came to the 1852 to 1871 yellow fever epidemics, the 1867 to 68 cholera outbreak, and infant mortality more generally. Schools in the 19th century were often a hotbed for anti-black racism. The school environment, which associated morality, productivity, and civility with whiteness while associating blackness with promiscuity, idleness, and moral ignorance, was an unsafe space to be as an Afro-Argentine student. Erica Edwards, in Hiding in Plain Sight, draws attention to how education whitened Afro-Argentine girls' behaviour so that they would understand and further fit into the hierarchical structures of the budding republic. Once they became mothers, they would instill those qualities in their children. By young Afro-Argentine girls existing in such an environment that degraded their confidence and altered their perception of blackness, it would be no surprise that they went on to have children with non-black men. For some Afro-Argentine young girls who would become mothers, their decision regarding who they would have children with was informed by their experience of violent anti-black racism, as well as the desire that their child would not experience the same level of harm as they did. Thus, while the Afro-Argentine young woman was conscious of the reason of her actions and became a protagonist in her erasure, the social context of violence cannot be divorced from it. Blanqueamiento, a social, political, and economic practice used to, quote, improve the race or mejora la raza towards a supposed ideal of whiteness. Under the 1876 Immigración y Colonización publication of Domingo F. Sarmiento, the then Minister of Foreign Affairs and Worship and the previous President of Argentina, there was an influx of immigrants from Europe to mostly urban Argentine areas in hope of whitening the population. The 1876 publication was just one out of many ways the state contributed to the Blanqueamiento period of 1860 to 1914. Tania Hernandez mentions how the Blanqueamiento of immigration was sought to modernize the nation with an increased white gene pool, quote, capable of modernization, in hope of replicating the white majority civilized populations of France, Germany, and Great Britain. Blanqueamiento took place in two ways, firstly through intermixing and secondly through racial classification. Since many Afro-Argentine men were killed during the Argentine War of Independence, Afro-Argentine women increasingly began to mix with the non-black population, most of them being white European immigrants. Through miscegenation, a racially ambiguous population began to grow, which enabled Afro-Argentines to free themselves from the racial classification of negro, meaning a black person. Erica Edwards notes in her article, Pardo is the New Black, that trigueño, meaning wheat-coloured, was a term used to refer to light-skinned castas, so mulattoes, which was a child of a fully black and fully white parent, or two mulatto parents, mestizos, which was the child of a white and indigenous parent, and zambos, a child of a black and indigenous parent, or dark-skinned Europeans, such as Sicilians, Andalusians, and Portuguese. Dr. George Reed Andrews, a historian of Afro-Latin America, expands on the significance of the racial classification of trigueño, as it provided an avenue of escape or an exit through which Afro-Argentines could leave the black category completely. And now moving on to black invisibility.
As early as the 1870s and 1880s, and as recent as 2014, Afro-Argentine newspapers in Buenos Aires protested that the history of our country has many blank pages and that contributions to national life has been invisibilized.
Afro-Argentines have been the recipients of state violence, with the education system, the military, the plantation, and even the household being an unsafe space for them to exist in. The precarious nature of being a black person, or an Afro-Argentine specifically, means that the possibility of discrimination is rife. This is particularly unfortunate when considering how many Afro-Argentines see Argentina as their home, since that was where they were born, where their parents were born, where their parents' parents were born, and so on. Argentine culture, often presented as wholly white or blanca, is teeming with Angolan and Congolese cultural influence as a result of Afro-Argentines creating spaces for themselves to exist freely in. Although Black Argentines created and engaged with Afro-Argentine culture, their contributions are often dismissed and erased. These efforts by racist Argentines to reduce the existence of Afro-Argentines to their mere existence as slaves in the 1800s have contributed to the invisibilization of Afro-Argentines.
A not so fun fact.
According to the 2010 Argentine census, 0.37% of the population identify as Afro-Argentine. That's 149,493 people.
But why should I care if I'm not an Afro-Argentine or a Black person living in Argentina?
That brings forward the topic of revisibilization.
Revisibilization implies not only demanding public recognition of the existence of Afro-Argentines and of their historical importance, but also facing up to repressed memories, painful pasts, and discriminatory attitudes.
Anti-Black racism is unfortunately all around the world, so it's important to recognise that the liberation movement is borderless and transnational. Afro-Argentines are constantly rejecting negative and oppressive appellations given to them by the non-Black population, names given to them at the beginning of slavery and continue into the 21st century. One Afro-Argentine organisation committed to combating discrimination and anti-Black racism is Afro-Feminas. After recognising the extent to which Afro-Argentines have been erased from the history books in Argentina, activists are creating their own resources, such as pamphlets, websites and documentaries, to ensure that their history is not forgotten and whitewashed, implying that to be Black in Argentina is to have the substantial responsibility of being an archive while creating an archive. Afro-Argentines continue to make spaces for themselves in a society that has historically and continues to ignore them.